Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. As you know, today is the 29th of Dhul Qadah, 1445. On this beautiful day of Jumu'ah, let's welcome our guest, and that is Mufti Muhammad Aku Sahab Damat Barakatuhu. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah, Marana. How are you doing? How's everyone there?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All well, can't complain. Yesterday we had a bit of heavy winds, but it was a bit scary for me. I don't know about other people. But alhamdulillah, you just wonder, is this now the time? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Mufti Sahab, today is the 29th. Tonight we'll go out to scan the skies. What's Mufti Sahab's advice for us?
MashaAllah. Ji, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa sallallahu ala nabi al-ummi. We are approaching such Mubarak times. Allahu Akbar. That, imagine the Qur'an al-Kareem takes an oath on these 10 nights. So this time, this month that is coming in is so Mubarak. Imagine when Qur'an mentions something on oath. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have to take an oath. So first of all, when the Qur'an al-Kareem takes an oath, it's the mercy of Allah to teach us something. Allah ta'ala has to just command us and we have to listen. We are His servants. But out of mercy, He takes an oath for us to learn many lessons therefrom. Among the lessons of this is, imagine how valuable are these 10 nights. Allah says in the Quran al-Kareem, but after أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر. So first of all, Quran is taking qasam by al-fajr. That's how important is the fajr prayer. Allah make it such that every one of us make sure that our day starts with fajr, and inshallah before that tahajjud. It's so easy in these times also because Fajr comes in quite late. We have the opportunity to make some raka'at before the entrance of the time of Fajr. Allah give us tawfiq wal Fajr. And then also another beautiful hadith concerning that is, hadith is sound in Sunan Ibn Majah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that when a person goes to sleep, shaytan ties three knots ala qafiyati ra'si ahadikum, on a person's nape. And by the neck, by the nape, there's three knots there. And as this person goes to sleep, those knots are tied. When a person wakes up for Fajr, and according to Imam Ibn Majah, he brings it under the chapter of Tahajjud, where one is exhorted to wake up for Tahajjud. Allah give us tawfiq. But when a person awakens in the morning for his Salah, for his Fajr Salah, then that first knot opens. He makes wudu. The next knot opens. He goes for his salah, the third knot opens. That entire day he's free, he's liberated from the devil, he moves around wherever he goes with the flag of Iman. But when a person refuses and then succumbs to the insinuation of the devil, where the devil says, no, alayka laylun tawil, farqud, you still have so much of time. There's so much of time left to go to work, sleep more, farqud, carry on in your deep sleep. And then when he accepts the temptations of the devil and he falls into this deep sleep, what does shaitan do? He now gives access to shaitan. Allah save us. The ayah of the Quran al-Kareem, وَقَيَّضْنَا لَهُمْ قُرَنَا فَزَيَّنُوا لَهُمْ. What happens is, قَيِّض is the shell surrounding the egg. So the shell part of the egg is قَيِّض. So what does this mean is, shaitan gets such an influence on this individual, like the eggshell surrounds the egg. And now shaitan entices him and, disturbs him, troubles him, misleads him. And then the hadith says, so this is an ayah, وَقَيَّضْنَا لَهُمْ قُرَنَا. The hadith says, he now goes into this deep sleep. He only want to wake up next for his worldly pursuits. So as he carries on sleeping, بَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ فِي أُذُنِهِ. The devil urinates in his ears and then sleeps on his nose. وَنَامَ عَلَى خَيْشُومِهِ. Allah save us. Now imagine how despicable is the outcome of not awakening in the morning to stand up, to pray to our Allah, our merciful, kind, loving Allah. Allah knows this is best for us. Allah wants us to live our days in a blessed fashion. Now, when a person doesn't do that, he goes throughout his day, and the entire day he has the flag of the devil with him. Allah save us from that. So, والفجر, Allah Ta'ala takes قسم. Imagine how valuable is Salah, and then Fajr Salah, والفجر. Fajr Salah is so strongly emphasized in the Quran Kareem. All the Salahs are mentioned. Imagine the Quran takes قسم by Fajr. All the Salahs are also mentioned in the Quran Kareem. فسبحانالله حين تمسون وحين تصبحون وله الحمد في السماوات والأرض وعشيا وحين تظهرون يخرج الحي من الميت ويخرج الميت من الحي ويحيي الأرض بعد موتها وكذلك تخرجون. These are ayat in Surah Al-Rum. Amazing. Respected Ummah, read the translation of these ayat. From here onwards, then Allah Ta'ala inspires us to admire His greatness. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. The next few verses all start with the signs of Allah's glory. How Allah has blessed us and favored us in so many different ways in this world. So this verse, Allah says, Subhanallah. Subhanallah means make tasbih. But Subhanallah also means salah. So for Subhanallah, حين تمسون, make salah in the evening. That refers to Maghrib and Isha. وحين تصبحون, and when you make تصبحون, these are verbs. تصبحون is صباح, the Fajr prayer. So glorify Allah, attribute greatness to Him, proclaim His purity from every blemish in the form of salah. Subhanallah, فسبحانالله حين تمسون وحين تصبحون, and at Fajr. وله الحمد, and praise Allah. Now comes the day salahs. So الحمد is used for the day prayers. Subhanallah is for the evening prayers. So both are important, teaching us how to connect to Allah, how to thank Allah, how to appreciate Allah, how to proclaim to humanity and to ourselves and everyone around us and to the whole wide world that our Allah is free from every blemish. وله الحمد في السماوات والأرض. To Allah belongs all praise in the heavens and the earth. But what salah comes here now? So previously we heard this ayah mentioned in Surah Al-Rum. Allah mentions the evening prayers, Maghrib and Isha, Tumsoon, Fajr prayer, Tusbihun. Then the day prayers. We have Dhuhr and Asr left. وَعَشِيًّا وَحِينَ تُظْهِرُونَ. Allah mentions the Asr and then Dhuhr. Both are pertinent, both are important. But there's a point to take note of here. This ayah highlights Asr by mentioning Asr first, before Dhuhr. And this ayah mentions Dhuhr with a verb and mentions Asr with a noun. وَعَشِيًّا, that refers to Asr prayer. وَحِينَ تُظْهِرُونَ, and when you perform the Dhuhr prayer. So something pertinent here to remember in Arabic, also something interesting, is that a noun is more emphatic than a verb. This ayah highlights the Asr prayer because it's emphasized with a noun. وَعَشِيًّا وَحِينَ تُظْهِرُونَ. So Allah give us tawfiq. This chapter, Wal-Fajr, speaks of the Fajr prayer. This Surah Rum speaks of the Asr prayer and all the other prayers. Allah give us tawfiq to highlight and emphatically make sure that Salah is the most integral, important part of our life. That appointment we have with Allah is most pertinent and most important. There's an amazing hadith in the Sunan. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that when a person enters his grave, the angel comes to him to talk to him. But just then he sees the sun at the time of Asr. And the angel now wants to have a meeting with him. When Asr Salah was integral in his life, that he was prepared to put everything aside for his Asr prayer, he will say to the angels that I first have to do my duty to my Allah. First is my meeting with Allah, and then you can talk to me. Subhanallah. That is when Asr was highlighted in this person's life. But if he delayed his Salah and he delayed his Asr, and he came home later after time, after congregation, and then he performed it at his own leisure without prioritizing Allah in his life, then he'll fail that first test in the grave. So Allah Ta'ala save us. All salahs are emphasized. The Quran Kareem also emphasizes, and the ahadith Mubarakah, Fajr, Asr, other ahadith emphasize Isha, and all the salahs. Wal Fajr, walayalin ashr. Then Allah takes qasam by these 10 nights. Ya Allah, how valuable is this time? As soon as we see the moon, such a Mubarak month has come in, subhanallah, that Allah takes an oath thereby. That's why there's a discussion among the scholars, what is more superior? the last 10 nights of Ramadan and days, or the last 10 days and nights in these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, subhanAllah. Then they come to the conclusion that probably the last 10 nights in Ramadan, the 10 nights are more virtuous. But in these 10 days, the days are more virtuous. And so forth. That's a discussion amongst the scholars. But imagine how noble are these 10 days. That, subhanAllah, they are actually comparable to the last 10 days of Ramadan. That's why the hadith is in Musnadul Imam Ahmad, narrated by Abdullah bin Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَعْظَمُ وَلَا أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ الْعَمَلُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فِيهِنْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ الْعَشَرِ. There's no days of the entire year more beloved to Allah. There's no days where Allah loves our ibadat more than these 10 days. Allahu Akbar. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, make lots of tahleel, make lots of takbir, make lots of tahmeed in these 10 days. Meaning dhikrullah and every sort of ibadah, the fast, subhanAllah. Imagine how valuable is the fast. The report says that every day's fast is equivalent to a year's fast. يَعْدِلُ صِيَامُ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِّنْهَا بِصِيَامِ سَنَةٍ وَقِيَامُ كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ مِّنْهَا بِقِيَامِ لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Every night's qiyam is equivalent to laylatul qadr. But there's one more difference. In the month of Ramadan, shaitan is tied down and suppressed. In this, he isn't. So that's the difference now, that we have to now strive for Allah more and go against our nafs more and go against shaitan more to make Allah happy. Otherwise, these days that we are coming into are really magnanimous, powerful, glorious, gigantic, exclusive. Allah give us tawfiq to value these Mubarak days. Among it's also interesting about the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum. In these days, they would actually go into the market and make tasbih, reminding people to be involved in amal, tasbih. That's why there were Sahaba and others, many will still be working and so forth, and rightfully so. But let's be conscious of Allah, even in the place of work. Let's be conscious of dua, of dhikr. In Hayatul Sahaba, there's an amazing report where two Sahaba met each other in the marketplace. And they said to each other, come, let's make dua. Where everyone is ghafil of Allah, let us be zakir of Allah. Where everyone is negligent of Allah, let us be conscious of our Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they made dua, the one made dua, the other made ameen, the one made dua, the other then made ameen. Sometime thereafter, the one passed on. And the brother who was living, the sahabi who was living, saw his sati who had passed on in a dream. And he says to him, you know what, I came in your dream to tell you that night we were in the bazaar and we remembered Allah. Allah forgave us on that occasion. So even if we are in the bazaar, wherever we are in the world, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cautioned Sahaba about sitting in the marketplace, so Sahaba said, oh Allah's Nabi, he was counseling them. So they said, oh Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا لَنَا مِن مَجَالِسِنَا بُدُّن. There's no way, we have to go, we got errands there. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fine, if you have to go to the bazaar, to the marketplace, and do your duties there, and you're also meeting people there, then make sure فَأَعْتُ الطَّرِيقَ حَقَّهُ, fulfill the haqq of the bazaar, the market, the road, the travel. So Sahaba asked, what is the right? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, protecting the gaze, meaning not looking at the wives of others, the daughters of others, looking down, not look at what we're not supposed to look at. Always, especially in these days. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them also, if there's anything harmful on the road, remove it. And likewise, we see anything dangerous, we see some people's children, you know, somebody needs help, there's something dangerous on the road, in South Africa, there's a manhole open. If you have contact, or even if you can make contact, go to the municipality, make an arrangement to cover that manhole, somebody's child will get hurt, or there's some, you know, potholes, make some fikr to help people with no ulterior motive to serve humanity. That could be the means of our Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, remove any harmful item from the road, anything dangerous there, remove it. And then also Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, make salam to everyone. So how beautiful. Imagine salam. We go to work. Don't wait for people to make salam. You enter your office, make salam. You enter your store, make salam with respect, with love. Shaitan will whisper, no, no, you don't make salam. Why shouldn't they make salam? Subhanallah, why? Why must we wait for others to make salam? Maybe they don't know the hadith. Why must we judge others? Why don't we think, Allah, give me tawfiq to make salam first, just to make you happy. Allah becomes happy. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made salam first. My Sahaba kiram used to make salam first. No one ever beat Hazrat Abu Bakr. He always was the first to make salam. And one hadith indicates that if you want Allah to cleanse us of pride, make salam first. But make salam with character. Make salam with politeness. Allah give us tawfiq. And make salam audibly. It mustn't be, no, I made salam. But brother, the next person never heard you. No, make salam nicely, audibly, so that the person can hear. How beautiful Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sunnah. Even when he came home, he made salam in such a manner that if a sleeping person was asleep, they wouldn't get awakened. But if a person was awake, they would definitely hear him. How perfect and all-encompassing is the sunan mubarakah of Janabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Do you know, respected ummah, there was a sahabi. He used to take his student every day, Abu Tufail. And he would say, come, Abu Tufail. So the student would say, where are we going, Hazrat? He said, come, let's go to the bazaar market. So the student is saying, I'm going with the sahabi, my ustaz, and maybe he needs something in the market. So they go together. As they go together, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar used to make salam to everyone. Anyone in their store, at their stalls, doing some errands, anyone he passed, he made salam to them. So every day, the student caught on that this Hazrat of mine, he's not interested in buying anything. So he asked him, oh, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar, tell me, you're taking me to the market. But why? You don't need anything. I see you didn't attend the auction. How many times we went? You didn't look for any goods. You didn't buy anything. You didn't talk to anybody about certain issue that was needed, you know, in the market. What is the reason for going to the market? He says, you know, Aba Batan, and that was a sort of a reprimand for his student, that you haven't caught on yet? Haven't you realized? We go to the market only to make salam. Innama naghdu min ajli salam. We go just to make salam to everyone. How beautiful. There's a beautiful incident about two sahaba going to the marketplace. Subhanallah. One was Hazrat Abu Darda. He was en route to the marketplace, radiallahu anhu, and his close friend, and all the Sahaba were close, radiallahu anhum, was Abu Dhar al-Ghifari, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Let's remember them. And before I mention the story, I'm going to mention one more hadith about the marketplace also. Abu Darda, radiallahu anhu's name was Uwaymir bin Amir, radiallahu anhu. And Hazrat Abu Dhar Ghifari radiallahu anhu's name was Jundub bin Junadah radiallahu anhu. Interestingly, Hazrat Abu Dhar Ghifari was among the first Sahaba to make salam. And that's when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged the Sahaba, and it was approved that this is the way of the Anbiya alayhi salam. That's why even salam is recorded as to be the practice of the previous Anbiya alayhimu min Allahi as-salawatu wa-taslimat. It's actually still prevalent in the Bible, where even Isa alayhi salam and the Anbiya alayhimu salam would greet them saying, peace be unto you. Imagine you can say that to your non-Muslim friend. Did you know how we greet? That was the greeting of all the messengers of Allah. Then he'll say, no, that is your Muslim's greeting, your Islamo's greeting. No, tell him, that was the greeting of every messenger of Allah. And then he'll say, but what you mean? That's in the Quran. See, yeah, it's in the Quran, but it's in the Bible as well. John chapter 20, verse 19. Jesus said to them again, Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. Samuel 1, chapter 25, verse 6. David instructed the emissaries whom he sent to Nabal, and he then said to them, and thus you shall salute them, Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. So ask your friend, because you can show them salam in the Bible, you can show them fasting in the Bible, salah in the Bible, women covering their hair, and so forth in the Bible. So many of these practices that is still there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, protected it there, even though they try to change everything. But for those who are looking for the truth, for them to at least realize. But sadly today, common sense is not so common anymore. That's why if you have some contact, association, some friendship with your non-Muslim associates, friends, colleagues, employers, employees. Have these simple discussions with them. Take from Hazrat Maulana Zayed Saab a booklet, 8 pages. Ask Maulana, Maulana will send it to you. My brother wrote how to have a discussion with the Christian, to show him from his own book. Let's see, brother, think about it. You can go through it, you can discuss it with that person, and then you can give the booklet to that person as well. You can print it out, it's only 8 pages. Allah give us tawfiq. So Hazrat Abu Dharr Ghifari was the first to make salam, anyway, in our ummah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then approved it and then encourages, and then it's mentioned in the Quran Kareem as well. But before I mention the incident of these two Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, I want to mention one more hadith about the bazaar, the marketplace. Umar radiallahu anhu's hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that person who goes to the market and he says, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. You must have learned this before. Very similar to the fourth kalima. The fourth kalima. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت. This part is added. وهو حي in this hadith. وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. This report is in Tirmidhi Sharif and the rewards are phenomenal. Can you imagine reading this in the marketplace? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam specified marketplace. What's the reward? And before I mention the reward to you, it's so amazing that why is there so much of reward for reading this in the bazaar? It's because everyone is ghafil of Allah. And you are zakir of Allah, conscious of Allah, conscious of Allah's command. And this is the greatest dhikr of Allah. وَكُلُّ مُطِيعٍ ذَاكِرٍ. What does my Allah want from me in this situation, in this context? In this scenario that I find myself in, what is my Allah's order? What is my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah? This is a great form of dhikr of Allah. What's the reward for this? You're in the market and you're conscious of Allah. كُتِبَ لَهُ أَلْفْ أَلْفْ حَسَنَةً وَمُحِيَتْ عَنْهُ أَلْفْ أَلْفْ سَيِّئَةً وَرُفِعَ لَهُ أَلْفْ أَلْفْ دَرَجَةً وَبُنِيَ لَهُ بَيْتٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. 1 million nekis, my brother, my sister, my mother, my father. One time you read it, Allah forgive us, sometimes we'll go to the bazaar for some necessity. Think of this hadith and remind each other. Don't feel shy to remind each other, because then your rewards are doubled and tripled and multiplied. And in these 10 days, Sahaba Kiram used to actually read it a little louder in the marketplace to remind others. What a beautiful quality to remind. Sometimes we'll find we're just finishing all our work and we're coming back and then we realize, hey, I was supposed to make that zikr. So when going to the marketplace, also take our tasbih, our counter, to actually remind us at least. 1 million nekis in your book of deeds. 1 million rand added to the book of deeds, we get happy. Wallah, this is more than billions and trillions of dollars and pounds and everything that could be added to our accounts. Because this is everlasting. 1 million nekis added. 1 million sins wiped out. 1 million ranks raised. And a palace in Jannah you just acquired for yourself. Imagine the reward. Another hadith so amazing in reward is that in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad. And it's also sound in Sahih. It's for Friday. My respected fathers and brothers, let's practice this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who fulfills the etiquettes of the Jumu'ah by washing, bathing early, ghassala wa ghtasala, proper, full sunnah, ghusl properly, and Allah give us tawfiq to dress according to the sunnah and follow all the sunan. And then he goes to the masjid. Wa ghada wa btakara. He goes early to the masjid. Ibtakara, like Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr was always early, radiallahu anhu. Wa btakara. He goes early. Wa masha wa lam yarkab. And he walks. Generally, when going with the car, also we get rewarded. Allah, for every turn of the wheel, we get rewarded. But this hadith for Jumu'ah specifies walking. So try and park a little further away to walk to the masjid on Jumu'ah. And if we can, walk from the house, it's best, or from the store, or from the office, from the surgery. And he walks and doesn't ride. Allah will grant you for every step, alfu sana, qiyamuha wa siyamuha. Mi'atu sana, 100 years, كتب له أجر سنة قيامها وصيامها. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, for every step to the masjid on Jumu'ah, Allah will reward you 1 year's fasting thawab, 1 year's tahajjud thawab. 1 year's fasting thawab, 1 year's tahajjud thawab for walking to the masjid on Jumu'ah. What phenomenal rewards Allah wants to give us. Anyway, these two sahaba, kiram, radiyallahu anhum, are on their way to the bazaar. Abu Darda was going to buy a kurta, new kurta. And then he sees Abu Dhar. So they ask each other. Abu Dhar asks him, where are you off to? He says, no, I'm going to buy a kurta. He says, how much do you have? Yeah, I have 10 dirhams. Abu Darda asks him, you want to join me? He says, come, I'll come with you. We're brothers. And they go together. Brothers in Islam. Anyway, they come to the store. As Abu Dhar sees one, Abu Darda sees one, Abu Darda, radiallahu anhu. Anyway, Abu Dhar, radiallahu anhu, shows him one for 4 dirhams. That this is similar to the other one you're seeing for 10 dirhams. Take this one. He says, yeah, I'll take it. You want? He says, no, I don't want. Anyway, he takes the one kurta. As they're returning, they see a man who was basically in a pitiable state, tattered and torn clothing, uncovered, in need. So Hazrat Abu Darda was emotional. He gave him that new kurta. Anyway, he says, fine, alhamdulillah, I still have. We didn't use the 10, we still have. So he goes back to the bazaar, he buys another kurta. Anyway, as they're returning, they see a young girl, and she was crying. They asked her, what's the matter? She said, I work at this place. She was a slave at that home. And I was sent on an errand, and I broke the container. It fell and it broke. I just have no guts or courage to go back. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I'm going to get reprimanded and punished. They say, don't worry, we'll replace it for you. He goes back to the market. He buys another container just like that, and he gives it to her. But she's still emotional. What's wrong? I'm late, she says. They go with her to intercede by that man's behalf. When they come there, that man sees the two Sahaba kiram, Hazrat Abu Darda and Hazrat Abu Dhar. Anyway, my time has elapsed. Inshallah, we're going to finish this narrative of the Sahaba kiram for you. Let's aspire to inspire whoever we can before we expire and leave this world. Allah give us to pick to value these 10 Mubarak days and nights. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا رحمة الله. Amin. جزاك الله for the opportunity.
Amin. Amin. جزاكم الله خيرا for those wise words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us. Give us tawfiq to make amal, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
From us in the team, we say جزاكم الله خير. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Make dua for us. Read durood in abundance. Suratul Kaf as well. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.